Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm great, but I'm having a hard time remembering what my first words were.
I don't think you generally remember what your first words are.
I remember everything about my life.
You're one of those crazy people then. Know what your first word was?
No clue.
Yeah, I don't know what mine is either. I'm not sure if I've ever asked. No, I'm going to call my mom tomorrow.
It's good. You should call your mother because she misses you, you know?
I know.
Say hello to your mother for me.
I will do that. Before we get going, a couple things to talk about. Thank you. We have thank yous for David. He has kindly donated to the show. Thank you very much, David. Matt, say thank you. Be polite.
Oh, yes. Thank you. You are a wonderful human being.
Yes. David is going to be choosing a future listener question for his donation. So, of course, thank you again. In reply to, I believe you asked last episode about the hornpipe, right, Matt?
Yes, yes. Yeah, hornpipe fever. No idea what that is.
Hornpipe fever. The only reference, the only reply I got, and as good as any I could think of, is Neil on Twitter at After Thief. He says, reply, hornpipe. I believe in HMS Pinafore, Sir Joseph Porter mentions that every true British sailor must be able to play one.
And oh, well, that makes sense then.
I could not think of another reason that would come up. So, and no, it's a Simpsons, so they probably would include HMS Pinafore stuff in it.
They've already shown it several times now, so yes, not another?
They will. Please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out. We really appreciate it. If you don't want to donate to the show, this is another way you can help us. So we thank you in advance. Thank you.
Thank you.
On to this week's episode, it is Lisa's.
Thank you.
This is Lisa's first word, brought in by those terrifying words of thanks from Matt. As episode 9F08, originally aired December 3rd, 1992, written by Jeff Martin, directed by Mark Kirkland, had great ratings, 28.6 million viewers, most watched episode of this season, 13th for the week. Nielsen rating 16.6, highest rated show on Fox that week. It was the highest rated Simpsons since Bart Gets an F, which is the highest rated of all time. And a lot of it is because of the hype it was drummed up that Maggie would be speaking. So everyone.
I can't say they lied.
They did not lie. I think buzz that Elizabeth Taylor, they weren't sure who. It was kind of a mystery at the time. Who is there's the celebrity voice doing the voice of Maggie? What is she going to say? And so it turns out to be Elizabeth Taylor, which is a story in and of itself. The chalkboard gag. Teacher is not a leper. I guess that's
probably not.
Yeah, that's very rare. But, yeah, it's probably not good to spread that around.
It's about as rare as lupus. So, yeah, you're probably right there, Bart.
Couch gag is the big circus dance number. For sure this time. The Simpsons World lied to me before. But this time is for sure it is the big circus dance number. Right, Matt? You remember? Do you remember seeing
it? Yes, absolutely. Okay, it is huge.
Yes, confirmed. It has been confirmed multiple places. I saw it. The wiki saw it. Matt has seen it. So I believe that it has actually happened. An aforementioned guest starring Elizabeth Taylor as the voice of Maggie. The episode begins with the family trying to get Maggie to talk.
Maggie, can you say Baba? Can you say Mama?
Can you say get bent?
Bart?
Mr. Rogers says it all the time.
He does not.
Maggie, can you say daddy? Daddy?
Kitty. Kitty?
Bebop. Bebop.
Shove it. Shove it.
Did you hear that? She said burlap.
I don't think so.
Wow. I really enjoy that just because of all, like, you get every single family member showing their character all at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really great. Lisa goes on to a good quote that I've used often. It's not, Lisa didn't say it the first time, but 'tis better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. It's a saying or proverb that I am a fan of. I generally do try, when I don't know anything, just not talk.
Indeed.
Yeah, safe. Marge is worried about Maggie. Now, you know, she hasn't said anything yet. Bart asks what his first words are. He had apparently walked in on Marge and Homer snuggling His words were, "I carumba." Marge doesn't tell him that. She says that she doesn't remember. But this is an excuse for them to tell them the story of Lisa's first words, as the name of the episode. We cut back. It's 1982, 83. Which one is it, Matt? I forget.
84.
84. Okay. Right in the cusp. I've almost been born. Matt has already been born because he's an old man.
Oh, you youngins. I was a heady 1 year old when this story took place.
It takes place the quote unquote lower east side of Springfield. Bart's around. He's a little toddler. He's what, terrible twos at this point, acting out, being still kind of cute though. Little Bart is cute. It's hard to deny.
I think this is the only episode where he's literally this young that he's still only in a diaper all the time.
Yeah. We find out that like the origins of Bart calling Homer Homer.
Homer's what grown-ups call me. Call me Daddy.
Homer.
Daddy.
Homer.
Daddy.
Dad. Dad. Dad.
Yes?
Domer.
Why are you little?
I have a little knowing laugh. It's like, yeah, I know.
Domer. I do want to compliment Nancy Cartwright for doing, yeah. And even Yardley Smith for her small part in this. They're doing the young versions of Bart and Lisa. I think it'd be easy to make it sound too young. Like just putting it, it's really telling how well like it comes off. Like you never think like that sounds out of place. It's immediately like, yeah, that's a young Bart and that's a young Lisa. It makes perfect sense. We get a bunch of little tiny Bart misbehaving. He is swinging around on the clothesline strung between buildings. How did they get him down from there, Matt? That's my question.
I really hope that once he fell asleep, they reeled it in. Like I've seen a lot of those lines where it's actually two lines on top of each other, and there are a pulley on both sides. So I would hope. You know.
Yeah, well, he survived, so we don't have to worry about too much. He flushes Homer's both his wallet and his keys down the toilet. We get a little clip of Johnny Carson. We see Bart entertain Patty and Selma with Itsy Bitsy Spider and the teapot. Little teapot. Oh. I'm a little teapot song.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. The medley
Yeah.
They pay him $1.
And that was a lot of money in 80s money.
Yeah. That's not bad for just a little singing and dancing. But it is announced that Marge is pregnant again. And this is actually a little strange because it's like a celebration. Like they're happy about it.
Yeah, considering how poor they seem.
Yeah, like, but when he learns that she's pregnant with Bart, it's obviously, oh no, what are we going to do? When they get pregnant with Maggie, it's also very much like, we didn't want another kid. But in this case, they're like, yeah, another kid. Like, Bart, both Homer and Marge are both kind of excited about it. I think
that's true. At this point, have we seen the circumstances of Bart's birth yet?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I guess Lisa was the only child they actually wanted.
Yeah, and apparently that turned out really well, because Lisa's probably the best. Although Maggie...
That's true, when you think about it, Bart is a surprise, and then Lisa's like, yeah, we can have a second kid, that's fine, because they're, you know, 8 and 10, and then Maggie's, what, 1? Obviously, she was the mistake.
Yeah, exactly. But because of that fact, they need to find a new apartment, where Bart can sleep with them until he's 21. Which is probably not a good idea. They go house hunting. We get a house in, was it something about rats? What is it? Rat Alley, or forget what the actual name of it is.
Oh yeah, the Rat's Nest.
Rat's Nest. That's what it is. The Rat's Nest. We also see them in a house that has an unusual smell.
Now here we have beautiful hardwood floors, trap lighting.
What's that stench?
Once you get used to the smell of melted hog fat, you'll wonder how you ever did without it.
Hog fat.
Of course, that's what Homer would be enjoying, hog fat.
Mm-mm-mm. Also, there is a really funny gag where Homer visits the plant, and the guys who are working there smell something funny because Homer's there.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's like, hey, do you smell something? I'm like, I don't think you could smell anything over the smell of melted hog fat, because that's a pretty overpowering smell.
Maybe they're just really trained at this point. They're so used to it. We get Captain McAllister again, sea captain selling his houseboat. And finally, we have a house that's full of cats.
Well, once we get the cats out of the way, it won't be too bad.
Actually, according to the will, the cats own the house. You'd be their tenants.
So they're planning on buying every other house, but not the cat house.
Yeah, I don't. I would just go with the hog fat house, honestly.
Yeah.
If those four are my choices, I'd go the hog fat house and just, like, deal with it. It's a great house. Aside from
true, if I could own the cat house, I might deal with that.
Yeah,
you know?
But you can't own the cat house. That's exactly what.
Yeah,
it's,
so, yeah. No.
Yeah, it's not a good deal. But eventually, Homer ends up going to Grandpa and begging him for money. Grandpa actually, you know, it's either rather big of Grandpa. You know, we haven't seen much of this in Grandpa for the most part, at least in response to his own children. I mean, we've seen him inherit a lot of money and not. Purposely not give it to his family. So he sells the Simpsons house, his house, and gives the money to Homer so that they can buy a new house. But then the act ends. We go to commercial with them laughing about how they shipped him off to the nursing home in 3 weeks.
Just oh, elder abuse. Laughing
maniacally. It's just crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's, I don't know. It's a very strange thing.
It's The Simpsons. Yeah, being mean to your elders is funny in the 90s, and sadly to this day still is for a few people, unfortunately.
It was funny. I enjoyed it. It's just a little weird to end the act that way.
Yeah, but when we come back, we see this is a stupid little gag, but I love it. Homer has saying, "Oh, he was locked in the bank vault with Mr. Mooney," which apparently was a gag on the old Lucy show, which is hilarious. If you've ever seen the Lucy show, it's a little stale, but it's still pretty funny.
Away
and you can
from
see
the streak-free shine of Windex.
Yeah. What is happening?
I don't know.
Don't trust
Windex.
Don't trust Windex, man.
I will not tell with Windex.
I was gonna say
with Lucy show.
Lucy show is good. It's not as good as I Love Lucy, but it's still good.
True, true. But it's a good foundation for comedy. I also really liked Bart's summary of the story so far is that mom was preggers and dad just threw all our money down the sinkhole. That's about right. Yep. When we actually first see the Simpsons of the past, we see them moving into their house. And unfortunately, young Bart is not too happy at first.
Hey, Homer, this house sucks.
Bart, I told you not to use that word. Call me Daddy.
Homer. Yeah.
Bart.
We welcome you to the neighborhood. Sing fa la 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 la
la la la la la la la.
From now on, you'll be history.
You'll be hist.
You'll be hist.
You'll be history.
Buenos dias, neighborito. The handle's Flanders, but my friends call me Ned.
Hi, Flanders.
Who the hell are you?
My name's Todd. Will you be my friend? You're funny.
If you need anything, just give a whistle.
I could use a TV tray.
Well, gee.
What?
I just this minute bought it at the hardware store.
You said anything.
Well, sure, you can borrow it for a little while.
And that little while is now 8 years and counting.
Oh, I believe this is the first time we see how Homer and Flanders met. But as we can see from the beginning, it is definitely giving on the part of Flanders and taking on the part of Homer.
Yeah, and Homer's even proud of that. He's so proud. The fact that he got over on Flanders.
Well, yeah, I mean, Homer is a very self-centered person, so it's not surprising that anything that makes his life easier is, you know, something that he would focus on. But, you know, that's Homer for you. That's why we love him.
Is I guess...
Yeah, one of the reasons, I guess. But we proceed from there to see Bart being an absolute terror. The Terrible Twos, I believe they're called, where for some reason he is wearing a pot on his head and banging together two other pots to make as much noise as possible. While poor Marge is pregnant and has a washcloth on her head and just is having a rough time of it. No surprise. Because, you know, being pregnant in a house with Bart seems like a real chore. But luckily for Homer, between school and work, work and having a troubled child, as he calls Bart, he is still able to fit in 8 hours of TV a week. Or, sorry, 8 hours of TV a day, which is pretty impressive, to be honest. I mean, you got to like watch a couple hours when you get up in the morning, watch six more hours at night. I mean, it's tough to fit all that in when you've got work and sleep. I assume he was giving up work and just watching TV at work because, you know, it's Homer. We also see a great Itchy and Scratchy cartoon called 100 Yard Gash, which is, I believe, features Itchy nailing Scratchy's tongue down, which does not keep Scratchy's insides, a skeleton, but more than skeleton, from winning and going to OnStar Nowiti's box, which actually begins the Olympic theme for the episode. Apparently, the 1984 Olympics were a big deal, and for some reason, they form a really great backdrop of what's happening in 1984, because Krusty Burger is the official meat-flavored sandwich of the 1984 Olympics.
Mm-mm. Meat flavors.
Yeah, yeah, meat-flavored. Not actual meat, but meat-flavored. They are having a special contest that you get a scratch-off card with a burger, and if you America wins a gold medal in that sport, you win a free burger, which is great and sounds like a fantastic promotion.
This entire thing is based on the actual thing that happened with McDonald's. Like, this, they lost millions of dollars.
I'm not surprised. That's with a monopoly where you have the illusion of winning, but rarely ever actually do.
They learned their lesson.
Yeah. Because apparently, I don't know if McDonald's rigged it to be in sports that all the communists won, but, you know.
Well, they didn't.
Krusty sure did.
You didn't even have to rig it, really. I mean, up until the time they withdrew, they were favored in most things. It didn't really matter.
That makes sense, yeah, because if they pulled out, then they were just screwed at that point. And it's funny, someone points this out in a lot of different places, actually, that Krusty is able to read a wire despite the fact that he was technically illiterate during this period. Or maybe he knew how to read, but then forgot, because, you know, it's Krusty.
Yeah, that's a subject for debate on the news group this during that week. Many people are like, is he really? This is anything that's non, you know, that breaks continuity really bothers those folks.
It riles them up.
Mm-hmm.
But once we're done seeing Krusty weep for the fact that the communists are boycotting the 1984 Olympics and that he is going personally stands to lose $40 million, which back then was a lot of damn money.
Well,
sorry, Krusty.
$40 million is still a pretty good chunk of change. I'll take
it. Is, but back in the 80s, that was worth like three times as much. So you're talking $100 million plus he would have lost in today's dollars.
Continue talking about it. I'm going to look up what the inflation would actually make it. See what exactly would it be.
All right. Once we see Krusty's poor fortune in his attempt to rig the contest, we see the Simpsons at home with Bart wanting to stay in his crib.
Bart, from now on, the baby sleeps in the crib.
Crib, I'm a baby.
All right, I know how to handle this. Just use a little reverse psychology. Let's go, Marge. Leave the baby with his little crib.
Homer, reverse psychology is a good thought, and it worked for you in Saturdays of Thunder, but you gotta have some more time. Have a little patience with it.
And I'm, after knowing what happens with Bart in his bed, I'm kind of supportive of Bart wanting to stay in his crib.
That's true, but even Bart didn't know at this point that Homer, upon hearing this, decides he's going to build Bart a new bed, which, as we've seen before, Homer is not quite the craftsman that I would suspect being able to make a bed, but he somehow managed to make something that's vaguely bed-shaped and is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen placed in a child's room. That clown is just horrifying.
Mike Reese, the guy who wrote this episode, actually had a similar bet when he was a child.
Ugh. Have you seen Inside Out yet?
No, I'm not even sure I know what that is.
It's the new Pixar movie. It is really good.
I've heard it's great. You know, I haven't seen it yet. I heard it's very sad.
It can be at points, but actually one of the points of the movie is how sadness can help you in your life. But the point is, they have a giant scary clown that is still not as scary as the clown on his bed. And unfortunately for poor Bart, that clown bed has ramifications.
I know you like clowns, so I made you this bed. Now you can laugh yourself to sleep.
If you should die before you wake...
Can't sleep. Clown will eat me. Can't sleep. Clown will eat me.
Bart.
That poor child. That
probably didn't sleep for days, weeks, months, whatever.
Alice Cooper actually named a song after that. Now, in 2001, "Can't Sleep, Clowns Will Eat Me" from this episode.
Nice. I need to go find that song because that sounds amazing.
You ready for that inflation number, Matt?
I am. What would it be today? $40 million in 1984 to today's dollars.
Is $91,551,491.82.
Wow, I actually overshot by a bit. So yeah, more than double. So
its cumulative rate is 128.9% of rate inflation. More than double.
Take our money back in time and spend it there.
Well, it'd look awfully funny if we tried to take current money back to 1984.
That's true. They'd think we were European or something.
You got to get one of those Doc Brown money kits.
I know, right? I love that thing. I wanted a kit like that. It'd be hard to find, but I think we put one together, just traveling through time, just right when the transitions were happening. You'd have to, you know, anyway, tangent, sorry. I was about to go really far off topic, we'll stop that for now.
We can do in our Back to Future podcast, man.
Ooh, those will be short. There's only three of those. And the TV shows, the cartoons. But yeah, anyway, once we see Bart having the ramifications of his clown bed, the Simpsons are once again watching TV, where Homer is telling his stomach to be patient because he has a feeling he's about to win a new burger. And turns out he does, because I believe the U.S. wins in boxing over Sweden. Which I love. I feel like this sports announcer is based on somebody in real life, because the word choice he has here is fantastic. His triumphant turkey trot over the supine Swede, which is just fantastic and taught me a lot of the words I didn't know when I watched this episode for the first time. Go ahead.
So you don't know the actual name of that announcer?
I do not know.
Oh, come on, Matt. Really?
I mean, the only announcers I really know very well is Howard Cosell.
There you go.
Oh, okay. We're there.
Yeah. I'm like,
apparently I did know.
I'm like, how could you not know? It's Howard Cosell. He's like the easiest.
Good to know.
He's
like at least I was correct.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
But at this point, we see Homer jump up and begin doing the exact same dance that the triumphant boxer is doing. And we get Marge telling Homer that the baby is coming.
Homie, I think the baby's coming.
Wow, a baby and a free burger. Could this be the best day of my life?
Coming up next, an hour-long episode of Mama's Family.
Yes.
So apparently that's it. That's Homer's best day, you know. And I know that he hasn't gone to space yet or anything, but apparently the bar was set pretty low back in 1984.
Yeah, I would not suggest Mama's Family as with high regard as I would the Lucy Show.
Yeah. But on their way to the hospital, they leave Bart with the Flanderses, which is pretty trusting. Considering that I don't feel like they've known them that long, maybe 6 months or so at this point.
Come on, Matt. You can. It's Flanders.
That's true. They seem like very trustworthy people until you go in the basement.
What are you talking about?
All the bodies in the Flanders' basement. They're everywhere. They're right next to all the Beatles memorabilia.
Okay, whatever, you crazy person.
We see Bart playing with Rod and Todd, and they're actually using dice, which, as we learn later, that is eventually restricted from them because dice are wicked. They just go one space at a time. It's less fun that way.
Yeah. Yes, that's so much fun.
But luckily for Bart, they are still using dice at this point to play Good Samaritan and getting to clothe the leper. And at dinner time at the Flanderses, they're apparently having liver, which Rod and Todd are, of course, excited about because of iron, which is true. Eat your organ meats, folks. They're very, very good for you. High in nutrients. I know. But, you know, they're very good for you. That's why most animals, when like scavengers, they will eat the organ meats first because they're so packed with nutrients, high quality fats and minerals and things like that. So just so you guys know, we see Rod and Todd singing themselves to sleep about the joy, joy, joy deep in their hearts.
Down in their hearts. Matt. Come on. You got to know your Bible songs.
I didn't pay that much attention to music in Sunday school, thank goodness. Bart does not like this. He tries to escape, but then he realizes that he doesn't want to go home because he can see the clown bed from Rod and Todd's window. And anything's better than that. But while he is up, he has a chance running with Grandma Flanders, who is terrifying. She's a spindly old lady who is obviously senile. Apparently she is gone by the time we're in current Simpsons continuity, because we don't see her anymore. I have a feeling this seems like it was written around somebody who had a running like that at that age, because it is exactly like you would think of it would be from a, I guess Bart would be 2 years old, maybe three at this point, but close around there. We then cut to the hospital room where Marge and Homer are sitting with the baby, and Marge is once again reading Fretful Mother magazine. So apparently it's something she has a subscription to. She read it when Lisa was a baby. She reads it now. The hard-hitting cover story, Is Your Baby Too Cute? Which, you know, I'm sure there's a quiz inside. Or that you send them pictures and they tell you. You never know. It's weird. But she is worried that Bart will be jealous of the baby, which he very obviously is. When they bring the baby home, you see Bart waiting outside the baby's room where she is taking his crib. And he keeps hearing all these voices in his head basically telling him terrible things about the baby, such as the baby sleeps in the crib now, iron helps us grow, and all these things that basically have ruined his life since the baby came along. So when he is finally introduced to Lisa, his first words are, "I hate you." Then we cut to a commercial.
You.
Which I'm sure all of us oldest children can, you know, identify with.
When we come back, we kind of see Bart, you know, dealing with Lisa. Everyone loves Lisa, obviously, because she's a little baby. She's very cute. Everyone is fretting over her, fawning over her. Patty and Selma no longer really are, they don't think Bart's as cute anymore. Mixing in this is, you know, Krusty saying he'll personally spit in every 50th burger. He's so disgusted by the results of the Olympics. We get several Olympics results. U.S. wins in boxing. We get a Korean gymnast who apparently has broken his leg, which is actually a kind of foreshadowing for what was that female gymnast U.S. that won with a hurt ankle?
Oh, was it Carrie Strug?
I think that's right. Which, you know, it's kind of actually a very similar moment.
Yeah.
But we get, you know, Lisa goes to the doctor, gets a lollipop. Bart gets a rubella inoculation, which sounds terrible.
Which thankfully now we have the MMR vaccine, which is measles, mumps, and rubella all in one. And that was actually part of a series back in the 80s that kids got. You got to have several of those in a row. So kids today have it much, much easier.
Hear that, kids today? Getting off easy.
Go get your dang vaccinations. Stop infecting us old people who's had their vaccinations wear off.
They wear off. Gotta go get new ones. But Bart, he basically goes on a plot for revenge against Lisa to try and win back his parents' favor, I guess. He cuts off her in a very creepy scene. I didn't really include any clips of these because most of them are kind of very visual in nature, but he cuts off Lisa's hair. She's bald. Little bald Lisa. Who's cute now? So, is that what
he's doing? Well, probably the baby, because I doubt she had that much hair to begin with.
Yeah. He tries to mail Lisa. Was it lousy mail lady? And then he also tries to give her to Flanders as well. But Flanders returns Lisa, because he's the kind neighbor he is. He is Flanders. Mm-hmm. And then at this point, Bart is actually talking to Lisa point blank. He's going to run away. And I don't think he's make it very far being three, but it is a really kind of fun and nice scene.
I liked it when it was me, Mom, and Homer. You wrecked everything. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Bart.
What did you say?
Bart?
Submarine succotash! You can talk! Mom, Dad, she can talk! Say it again, Lise.
Bart! Bart, 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 Bart.
I'm her first word.
Well, I'm not surprised. Lisa's crazy about you. She thinks you hung the moon.
Wow. Lisa, can you say Mommy?
Mommy.
Can you say David Hasselhoff?
David Hasselhoff.
Can you say Daddy?
Homer.
No, sweetie, Daddy.
Homer.
Don't!
Oh, poor Homer. He's never going to win with that.
I know. It's just such a cute scene. And in that scene, you can actually hear Bart's voice has kind of grown up a little bit. Like, it's a lot closer to his normal voice than what it was in the beginning of this episode, in the early parts of the flashback. And you know, you hear the Yardley Smith doing, like, Lisa's very, very young baby voice, which is very cute. And you can kind of see the birth of their relationship, how they kind of worked out. But we cut back to the present, and they're arguing, like brothers and sisters do. And Homer walks off, putting Maggie to bed.
You know, Maggie, the sooner kids talk, the sooner they talk back. I hope you never say a word.
Maggie's first word, very cute, very kind of charming, fun moment. I really like it. It's that whole Lisa's for, you know, we get Maggie's first word. It's one of the reverent three, you know, the big four flashback episodes, three involving the children. I think it's really good. It's really strong. The only complaint I have is some of the jokes, especially about the Olympics and stuff, a little dated.
That's true. Even when this episode came out, they were, you know, close to 8 years old, so two Olympics ago. They're dated, but I think they're intended to be that way. I guess they feel dated now because people who are alive and watching this now weren't really conscious during that particular Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's because, like, the first one, I mean, like, in both why can't I think of the name of the damn episode, Matt? Am I really this dumb?
What happens?
Well, I married Marge, of course, but they're high school. Why can't I think of the
Way We Was?
Way We Was. Gosh, why can't I totally blanked on that. But, you know, The Way We Was and I Married Marge are kind of set in the 70s and very, maybe did they hit, I think, very early 80s, right? And, like, that...
I believe I Married Marge, yeah.
Yeah, it's... And, like, I guess those time periods are just... That whole time period, I guess, broaching those two episodes are a little bit more iconic. Like, they talk about Star Wars, and there's, like, Steve Miller Band, and...
Well, I feel like... a lot of it comes down to this focus on the 1984 Olympics, because there could have been a lot of jokes made about the 80s, but they stuck out this Olympics theme as this, you know, long-running theme of this episode. And then I don't know why they chose quite to focus on that. I guess it was the only thing they could think of that was very 80s at the time. But I feel like the other things, they had a very, you know, even 70s, a little bit of everything, whereas this was just the Olympics.
Yeah, it's probably true.
If it was more generic 80s, maybe it would have been funnier and more timeless.
Yeah. But still, it's very good. It's still a very good episode. And, you know, Maggie's first word, Lisa's first word, Bart's, there you get all their first words, actually. But we'll see where it goes when we rank it, right? Right, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
See where it goes. On to our next segment, which is my favorite episode. We have one for this episode. It's very exciting. A lovely response from Sam. I'm going to read the whole thing. So here we go. Dear Matt and Robbie, first off, love the podcast and you guys for rekindling my love for The Simpsons. Well, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. And sorry if this ends up being too long. No such thing. Starting off, being 20 years old, my discovery of the show came late in their already vast and rich game. I started watching when I was around 10. And the first episode I remember seeing on my TV screen was 22 short films about Springfield. I went through a roller coaster of emotions from all out laughter to legitimate fear, made me want to stick around and see this cast of kooky characters do what they do best. Episode Lisa's first word relates to me in a number of ways. I remember my twin brother and I ganging up on our little brother simply because he was a little brother. Just like Bart, we would torment him in every possible way. Just like Lisa, he found his way into our hearts and we couldn't turn him away. Watching this episode as a kid made me realize at some point my little brother and even my twin were going to grow apart and our little group would start to drift off at some point. A scene when we go from flashback Bart and Lisa to present day when they're shouting at each other. I remember Homer's little speech at the end about learning to talk and talking back, and that hit me. Of course, I have to mention the ending when Maggie says Daddy. That, for me, is the best moment of The Simpsons, period. The build-up, the music, the voice of Elizabeth Taylor just makes it a perfect moment. I'm not going to lie, I still shed a tear every time I get to it. The episode is full of gags, references, and heart, everything that makes up a perfect episode, and that's why, in my opinion, this is the best episode ever. And it's a lovely response, Sam. Thank you very much for sending it in. You two can send in your response for my favorite episode to our email address at simplysimpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and we'll read it on air. Let's see. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
I mentioned the Kang Krusty Reed thing. He reads a wire in this episode, and, you know, it's mostly established that he's illiterate, but, you know, it's whatever. It's throwaway gag. It doesn't.
Hmm.
I think at this point they had not really established a continuity that, like, hey, we're going to stick to certain things. And I don't know if they really ever do. I think it's a lot of things that are just like, oh, well, we need this to be true for this joke, so we'll use it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they care that much. I think it's mostly the fans that care the most. There are debates if Matt Groening is gay on the news group because he's included. I'm not defending, he's not gay. He's been married twice now. It doesn't matter if he was gay, but their proof, quote unquote, was that there were lots of references to gay things in The Simpsons, so he must be gay. I don't know. Fans.
Yeah, think, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Regardless, even if he was gay, it doesn't matter. But it became a big thing, even to the point where people were making fun of those people, which they should. And then finally, the most baffling thing of all to me is people complaining about the cute ending of this episode.
Well, of course, things can't be cute ever. That's not gritty and real. What, did these people go on to become DC Comics writers?
I don't. That's good. Well, they're turning around a little bit, Matt. The recent.
I know. They're getting a lot better lately.
DCU books are pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's a very touching, heartwarming end where, you know, Maggie says daddy. Like, finally, someone says daddy. And then
never again.
Well, yeah. Well, based about that. But that's the gist of it. This is the old alt.tv.simpsons news group. For you guys who haven't listened before, it is available on Google Groups. You can Google it and find it archived back until like after the first season. It started in the summer after that first season. With that, we can move on to our next segment. It's time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Let's see. Listener question of this week is, what is your favorite of Homer's jobs? And I forget to grab that clip where he lists all those jobs he had. But obviously, he's had very, 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 very many. A lot of great responses this week. Let's see. We have a first off from Twitter. We have Nicolino at The Nicolino. Grabbing that handle. Sugar Salesman, because he includes prizes. Sean at ShawnieMac15 has to be Mr. Plow. If not for the jingle, then for the fact that it is one of the only jobs that Homer was competent in doing. That's true.
That is very true.
David at D. Levy, who, thank you again, David, for donating, has to be when he goes to work for Hank Scorpio. Could you work any harder? Genius management. Quote, quote, want any cream? Yeah, that episode has a place in my heart. Richard at Richard 8064. Homer the Smithers. Too many classic bits between him and Burns. Burning the cereal being my favorite. Jordan at J. Scott 1028. The bowling alley. Bowling! Get your bowling! I added the sound effects. My stunt attracted record numbers of police, but none of them stayed to bowl. Izzy.
Really? The police and firefighters didn't stay to bowl? I find that hard to believe.
Maybe if they had free beer. Izzy at Izzy Steak Fries, Mayor Quimby's bodyguard, who can't love Homer saving Mark Hamill, and the mayor plus the black suit is sharp.
Hey, George Lucas makes me pay for those.
On your Facebook, Mike, gotta go with Barbershop Quartet singer. Not only to let him both meet George Harrison and eat a giant plate of brownies, it was a job he was actually extremely competent at, as he was able to write some great earworms.
Mm-hmm.
Victor, the beer baron, even Marge is impressed by the cleverness of his scheme. We have Chris, a special place in my heart when he takes on the third shift job at the Quickie Mart to help pay for Lisa's pony. Shows what lengths he's willing to go for his children. He slept, he stole, he was rude to the customer. Still, there goes the best damn employee convenience store ever had.
That's so true.
And finally, we have Brian Pucci. Hey, kids, always recycle to the extreme.
Well, how else would you recycle? I mean, come on.
Would you just do normal? I do normal, not trash. That's where you go. It goes not trash.
Oh, yep, exactly. You don't write recycling, you write not trash.
Not trash. It works. Matt.
It does. Better than the little green arrow thingy.
Green symbol. What is your answer?
I actually did not expect anyone else to get this, but I believe Victor was the one who stole mine with the Beer Baron. That episode is fantastic. It's hilarious. Rex Banner is a great character. And Homer's scheme is just... absolutely ridiculous but hilarious in execution. It sticks out through the whole episode, and then it's one of those ones where Homer actually is pretty good at it, unlike a lot of them, but by the end of the episode it obviates the need for him to be that job anymore, so he goes back to his normal life, so it makes a little bit of sense. And just all in all, Homer as a bootlegger is great.
Homer the Smithers. I absolutely love that episode. I just seeing Homer try and compensate for being Smithers, it shows like how actually good Smithers is at his job, like how crazy it is to actually be Burns' assistant, and how Homer is not. I don't know. For all those episodes where Homer is good at his job, I kind of like it that, you know, he's a complete failure, and it actually leads to Burns' growth as a person.
That's true. It's once again, Homer being bad at something makes everyone else around him better. So that's Homer's job, to make everyone else more competent.
Our listener question for next week is from our donor, David, who we thanked. His question is, if you could have any character lead a spinoff show from The Simpsons, a la Frasier from Cheers, who would you pick and what would the show be? Good question. I'm going to have to think about that, because there's a lot you can do. That. Yeah. But you can find this question on our social media. I post it everywhere. I post it on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Follow us there. Like us there. Follow us on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And of course, email SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Also on Tumblr, TheSimpsonsShowPod.tumblr.com. Follow us there. I'm going to try and post stuff there. Try and remember. Now, Matt, it is time. Put on your thinking cap, okay? It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, and try and challenge the other. Stump them. We also take theme suggestions from listeners. If you guys have an idea, you know, something to center the questions around, we take them. Haven't got any for this week. We're on our own. But if you have any. And we also take questions. If you have any trivia you want to submit, I will try and hit Matt with it and see if he gets it right.
Make me cry.
Make Matt cry, which is an ultimate. If you can do that, I will applaud you. Applaud. Give me an easy question, Matt. Start us off.
All right, easy question. Who is Springfield's premier nerd culture criticizer?
Comic book guy?
That is correct. He knows everything, and his opinion is worth far, far more than yours could ever possibly be.
I really don't like comic guy.
I know, none of us do.
Yeah, exactly. What is Baby Bart's first action?
I believe in the womb he attempts to moon them, although once he, that's how he has a fetus, so when he gets out of the womb, his first thing he does is set Homer's tie on fire.
Yes, correct. That is, I was looking for the lighting Homer's tie on fire, because
gotcha.
Bart is, okay, we're not going to get into that discussion. Give me a medium question, Matt.
All right, your medium question. In Tale of Two Springfields, why does the town split into two separate towns?
I believe because they add a second zip code. Is that right?
You're close.
What? It's not. That's not why. I swear that's why. Because this.
You're close. It's not a zip code.
Area code?
Area code. That's right. A new phone area code. And apparently they spent a month at area code camp. But apparently it split the town on rich versus poor. And well, things went downhill from there.
Your medium question, Matt. Whose corpse is discovered by a young Homer Simpson?
Waylon Smithers Sr., I believe.
That is correct. And it sets older Homer to just screaming.
Luckily, they have the Yaki Indian memory tea.
That's all it takes. Give me a hard question, Matt.
All right, this is a tough one for you.
Okay.
What is the name of Krusty's daughter?
No,
voiced by Drew Barrymore.
I could have told you that. I knew that. I knew Drew Barrymore voiced her. I just can't remember her name.
It's a very popular name right now for little girls.
Belle?
No, sorry. One more guess.
Batman.
No, her name is Sophie.
Oh, Sophie. Okay. I was not gonna get it, so that's fine. Okay, this is your hard question, Matt. What was the first word the family heard Maggie say?
The first word they heard her say?
Yes, exactly. Not the first. Obviously, the first word she said was daddy, but no one heard her. What is the first word the family has heard Maggie say? Apparently there's some debate about this, so I will accept either answer.
I got nothing. I don't even know where you're going for with this.
Okay, so the writers say that the correct answer for this question is sequel, which he says in
The Simpsons movie.
In the Simpsons movie. Or apparently there's some debate because he also says yah in Coming to Homerica. But some people say that's not actually a word. That's just a noise she makes. That sounds like that word.
True.
So it's debatable. Okay, Matt, you ready for some listener questions?
I am.
A nice mixture here. I really like them. These are all from Joanna, who I'm still working through a massive list she sent us, but please, guys, send them in. What kind of car does Kearney drive?
A Honda.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Close. Starts with an H.
Was it a Hyundai?
Hyundai. That's correct.
Really? Are you sure?
I'm positive. That's the gag, because they want to get the H from his Hyundai to replace the H for Chalmers Honda. I think that's the gag. Yeah,
that's why I said Honda. I was like, I don't think Hyundais don't have an H on the front. They have an H, but it's a very stylized H. It looks nothing like the Honda H.
Well, what about, is this the Hyundai from when did that episode come out? I'm not sure.
Late 90s.
Late 90s.
Maybe you're right. Maybe
I don't know. That's my.
I'll lodge a formal protest.
Okay. Well, I'll give you half credit. How about that?
Okay.
What book was Lisa supposed to read but didn't in Lisa Gets an A?
Wind in the Willows.
That's correct. It's a great episode. Finally, how many pounds of fudge does Homer eat at the carnival in Lisa's wedding?
Oh, man. 10?
Meh. 7 pounds.
Dang. 7 pounds.
I like that. That was a good noise, man. I really like that.
Random numbers, man.
So, I think that'll do it. Let's see. I think we can move on to our last segment, Matt. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where do we put this one, Matt? It's a good one. I think it's better than a lot of episodes. I don't think it's of all those, the four classic flashback episodes, I think it's my least favorite.
I would definitely agree. You're talking I Married Marge, The Way We Was, and what was the other one?
And Maggie Makes Three, which we'll
and get. Maggie Makes Three. That's yes, right. That's
we'll
right.
Get, we'll
we
get
haven't
later
got
on.
To it yet.
No,
definitely, definitely. Just because the episode has an odd focus on, you know, the 1984 Olympics. That's the summation of what they remember about 1984, and it focuses heavily on Bart, which, you know, most of the flashbacks do because he was the only one old enough to actually have hijinks. But it's not as, you know, the jokes are not quite as broad, I guess, and well, the emotions are not nearly as resonant, I believe, in this particular episode.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still really good, and the whole Lisa saying Bart, 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 and Maggie saying Daddy at the end is really heart touching, and there, of course, it has Can't Sleep, Clowns Will Eat Me. Kind of hit with this a lot, where, you know, there's a lot of classic moments, but the whole episode overall has, you know, inconsistencies. But it's still good. It's still really good. It's a Bart Lisa. I don't know. It's hard to compare these to much of anything. Where would you stick it?
Well, it's funny because it's called Lisa's First Words, but Lisa's really barely in it. It's more of a Bart episode. So I don't know. Let's look. It's kind of like Saturdays of Thunder because it has a lot of the Bart-Homer relationship in it, but I don't think it's quite as good as Saturdays of Thunder. So I'm looking around that area down there.
Yeah, I can cotton to that. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think Saturdays of Thunder is better, but Lisa the Beauty Queen is right below it, and I think that Lisa the Beauty Queen isn't as good. I think this is a better overall. Mm-hmm. It has more classic things in it. Despite some of the dated stuff in it, I still think it is better than that. So, you know, right in between those two. How about that?
I would absolutely agree.
Okay. So, Lisa's First Word is right below Saturdays of Thunder, right above Lisa the Beauty Queen at number 19. Man, this list is just crazy. That's crazy list.
It's going to get so much worse.
I know. We're putting Lisa's First Word at number 19, but looking ahead of it, I'm like, guys, so many good episodes. Just crazy. Yep. Just crazy. So let's see. We have, Lisa's First Word, number 19. Lisa's Substitute, still number one. Very tough competition coming up. And last place, number 69. Homer's Odyssey.
Oh, Homer's Odyssey. You're going to get a lot lower.
Yes. Actually, I was caught in a Twitter exchange this week with one of the Simpson quote Twitters. The Simpsons quote it has over 300,000 followers. So very popular. But it's Simpsons QOTD. They actually were asked what the weakest early classic quote unquote Simpsons episode is, and they actually named Homer's Odyssey. So
wow,
yeah, and I agree. We agree, obviously, so far at least. I don't know. Classic is that's a good. Trying to figure out what that means is also kind of important. But you can find this list at our website. It is thesimpsonshow.com. Find everything there. New episodes, links to our social media, and of course you can donate to us. We'd really appreciate it. What is next, Matt? What is our next episode?
Let's see here. Let me get my handy-dandy list out. Let's see. After Lisa's First Words is Homer's Triple Bypass. A very odd episode.
Yeah. Very. I remember it fondly, but it's also kind of, you know, it's about Homer having a heart attack and fighting off death. So we'll see how that goes. let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixedMasterCereal. That's MixedMasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast at Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That is correct. However, I am asking for advice at this point because I will be traveling on a plane overseas probably by the time you hear this. So if anyone has any weather powers, I would really appreciate some clear skies on Tuesday. So if you guys could make that happen, I would really appreciate it. And I might even talk to you if you are able to make that happen and prove it.
I think the proving it part will be a little bit difficult, Matt, but.
That's the point. Shush.
All right. I think we caught it. With that, we can call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.